All right. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And nice weather out there. Been a good day today. And got a call from Grace Christian Academy yesterday. And they wanted to know if I could do chapel this morning. Both chapels, high school, then middle school. High school first. And so we went and had a good time doing that this morning. And then, of course, we hung around the school for a little bit and talked to a few folks. So, been a busy day today. Been a good day, but been a busy day. And again, it's just good to see everybody this Wednesday night. And got word that there was a. I talked about the donkey on Sunday morning, and got word that by Miss Cheryl's house there was a baby donkey, and so I had to go by today and see the baby donkey, and. And so that was a precious sight to see. But anyway, this is Passion Week. This is the final countdown to the Lord's crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And so my prayer is that we've all been kind of taking it in day by day, you know, just thinking about what the Lord went through and all the various things that took place this week, all those number of years ago. But let's jump.
Anyway, we'll just keep on talking while Brother Randy gets that worked out for us.
right, no PM service. Y'all can hear me now. No PM service. Spend time with your family and enjoy the night off thinking about the Lord and His goodness. All right, we'll open up the floor. Someone have a request, or Miss Lee Ellen? Yes. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Man, that could have been bad, couldn't it? That could have went the other way. So glad. I heard that he was captured while he was preaching or in church at gunpoint. And yeah. South Africa, I think, somewhere in that region. But he's due. Like you say, he's released. Man, that's amazing. They released him. But praise the Lord for that. Let's remember all... Oh, so he was rescued. Wow. 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 Let's remember all of our missionaries across the world in foreign lands. And it's just amazing how God protects them all. But let's remember our missionaries. Let's remember home missions as well. United States needs missionaries too, ministering to the United States. But anyway, anybody else? It's on? Okay, all right.
She's with BFF, Best Friends Forever.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad she's doing good. Unspoken? Okay. Brother Code in the back, good to see y'all tonight, brother. Yes. He did. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
He's had cancer for about a year and a half now.
Okay.
And then he had a stroke last week sometime. So he passed away last night. So visitation Monday and then the funeral on Tuesday.
That's Garland Odom. Wow.
He was 94.
I was going to say he's one of those old-timey heroes, some of the few that's left. And wow. Let's remember his family. Thank you for mentioning that tonight. Anybody else? Somebody else have a hand up? Miss Kat?
Miss Mary Ann. She's homesick.
Mary Ann's homesick. Okay. Yep.
It's a cold or whatever.
Stuff is always going around, it seems like. Let's remember her. Anyone else? All right, well, all that would normally we have, and regularly we have an altar of prayer every Wednesday night. If you would like to and you're able, you can meet us down front to pray. If not, you can pray right where you are, but it's a time of silent prayer together. Just take our time and pray, and then after that, Brother Jeff, have a song for us. Praise the Lord that we serve a living Savior. And you go on a cemetery tour, you'll go and see Buddha, you'll find his bones in the tomb, and Muhammad and all the rest of them. But if you go and visit where Jesus was, it's going to be empty. He's not in there. He's alive. And you know, that's what separates Christianity from all other religions. Christianity is not a religion, but that's the thing that separates it, is that we serve a living Savior. He's alive. Anybody can die in the name of religion. The Muslims did that in the Twin Towers. They died for Allah, but it takes Jesus, it takes the Son of God to raise himself from the dead by the power of God. So what a blessing it is. I'm glad that we can face tomorrow, all because he lives. All right. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33. Matthew 6 and verse number 33. Just a few moments tonight. And Matthew 6, verse number 33. As a parent, there's one thing I look for in Lily's life. Christy looks for the same thing in our daughter's life. That if this one thing is found, there's nothing that we both won't do for her. That one thing is effort. Is effort. The Lord spoke to me today and been dealing with me on this subject. I've spoke on it before down through the years, but it's something that is true tonight. It is something that we all can benefit from spiritually and in our lives. On a daily basis, that is, if we put forth that effort, God will bless it. Now, any coach of any sport, they look for effort. Doesn't matter how much talent or giftedness that a player has, doesn't matter how great their personality may be. If they don't put forth the effort, they're not going to be used. And so the coach looks for effort. You've heard the story of the turtle and the hare, or the rabbit and the turtle. And you know the rabbit was in first place, but it was the diligent turtle that won that race, wasn't it? He was diligent. And so it doesn't matter how nice a car is, a boat is, or a motorcycle is. If it isn't reliable, it's just money sitting in the driveway. And so, you know, as we look at this tonight, this subject, I want to talk to you for a few moments on effort equals blessings. Effort equals blessings. I want to say that the Lord tonight, He's looking for effort. He wants to bless us. He wants to multiply our endeavors. He wants to grow the church. He wants us to grow spiritually. And He's looking for that key element, that element of effort. He's looking tonight for the faithful. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." The Scripture doesn't say talented. It doesn't even say gifted. For those that preach and teach, it doesn't say great orator, does it, Brother Ceylon? It doesn't say none of that at all. But there's an equal grounds when it comes to all of us and our servitude, and that is faithfulness, diligence, effort. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So the Lord, He's looking for the faithful. He's looking for the steady. He chooses persistence over personality. Let us not get confused tonight that personality is not spirituality. There's some people who have very charismatic personalities, and some people will say that, oh, they're so spiritual because they can hold your attention. That's not spirituality, that's personality. And I'm glad that the Lord, He takes someone who's persistent, may be slow as a turtle, but steady. And He can touch their life and He can use them for the honor and glory of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We all can be used tonight by God. Doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how old, if we're still breathing, we can be used of the Lord. And so the Lord, He chooses persistence over personality. He chooses the available over the able. What do you mean? Well, it's like the man who needed to nail a nail in the wall, and he was looking for his hammer. If I could just find my hammer, I can nail this nail in the wall. Well, he looked for an hour, hour and a half, and finally says, what's the use? He took off his shoe. Took him another hour, but he got that nail in the wall. Listen, if God doesn't find the hammers, He can use the shoes. All right? And so he doesn't need the personality. He needs the persistence. He's looking for not the able, but the available. And God can make us able when we are available. And so the Lord promises tonight that if we put up the effort, He will advance. He will bless, He will supply, He will guide, He will touch, and He will use us. Again, the title of the lesson tonight is Effort Equals Blessings, or God Blesses Effort, whichever you like. If you're anything like me, it's easy to place a lot of pressure and stress on yourself while you're navigating through life. And what I mean by that is taking care of your family, the challenges that come with that, maintaining a marriage, raising kids, or grandkids' financial obligations. First and foremost, your spiritual life and spiritual endeavors. This can equal stress, fear, or worry if we're not careful. If we're not careful. And so, therefore, if we put up a hearty, godly effort in all we do, the Lord promises that He will provide. He will strengthen. He will make sure the ends meet. He will make sure that we have adequate strength. He will make sure that the job is done. We may not think we can complete it or achieve it, but if we're persistent, if we're available, He can do great and mighty things in our life. And so tonight I just want to share with you three verses with potentially a few other verses, but three main points and three main verses tonight. Three words to remember about this subject of effort equals blessings. And the first one is here in Matthew 6, verse 33. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew 6, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first word is priorities. Priorities. And if effort equals blessings, or if God is going to bless our efforts, we have to have our priorities in order. We just do. I want you to notice in this verse, he mentions two things. He tells us that there are heavenly things and there are earthly things. And he tells us to seek the heavenly, and God will supply the earthly. Look what he says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, heavenly, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, earthly. Food, raiment, any kind of provision that we may need. You've read the chapter before. We've mentioned the verses several times. But everything that we could possibly need, God will supply. And so God, He will tonight, He will supply our needs, but we have to seek Him first. We have to put Him in priority. He has to have the preeminence in our life, the first place in our life. And if we do that, He promises that He will supply the earthly whenever we focus on the heavenly. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'll give it to you. But in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And so we're called to set our scope on heaven. We're called to seek after the Lord and His righteousness, not to be fretting and worrying and wringing our hands over things that we have to have, although we do those things at times, don't we? We fret, we worry. Now, in verse number 32, he says this. We're backing up a verse. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And so we see here that the Gentiles, the heathen, the lost, the world, they are actually seeking the earthly first and not even the heavenly. Now, we know where this can lead to. I will have you turn, hold your place here, turn briefly to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Listen to this in verse number 10. We know where this could lead to if we seek the earthly first. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How about that? It's not money that's evil. You know, God uses money, and we use money in the church and missionaries, and we got to have money in life for our families and places to live and things like that. But it's that love of money which is the root of all evil. The love affair of cash. The love affair. He says that some have coveted after this, the money, and they have erred or strayed from the faith. Now, don't raise your hand, but just go there in your mind, if you would, for a moment. Do you know anybody in the Christian realm that's saved, that's born again, that because of finances, they're not in church right now? Something, mismanagement of money, mismanagement of funds, something along those lines, not tithing even. Somebody said one time, God will get his tithe. I don't think God wants to get somebody out of church, but it's such an opportunity to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of our increase and see if he doesn't open up a window of heaven and bless us. It's just honoring God. But we do know that there have been many a people down through the years, nobody in my mind right now, but they have erred from the faith. They got to pull in the work hours to pay for that house they got. They got to pull in the work hours and work overtime and double and triple to pay for that new car that they can't afford sitting in the driveway. I remember Brother Berman used to say all the time in his preaching, he would say, if your upkeep is more than your income, then your upkeep is going to be your downfall. Something like that. And it's so true. But really, it's easy to understand. Don't purchase what you can't afford. And another thing, you can't borrow your way out of debt. You know, I'm just going to use this credit card to pay off this, and I'll pay this. Well, listen. You got to. I understand people do what they have to do. We're on planet Earth, and decisions are made. But at the end of the day, if it causes us to stray from God, give me the 1992 Chevrolet Celebrity wrecked on all four sides, and you can keep the pickup truck. And that was my first car, by the way. A 92 Chevrolet Celebrity wrecked on all four sides. You've heard the story. Had a crack in the window sill, and it rained and looked like it was growing mushrooms out of the side of the seat. I know that's gross, but that's the way it was. I mean, I was lost. I didn't work. I don't blame anybody for buying me that car. My brother and I, we've had some time to catch up lately. Speaking of that celebrity, this really doesn't have anything to do with the message, but I want to tell you, we've been really bonding lately, and I praise the Lord for that. My brother got saved November 19th, 2000, and he put Real Men Love Jesus on the back window of that car. And so he went on and got him a different car. And I got that car. I said, man, I ain't riding around with that sticker on that car. And I took that sticker off Real Man Love Jesus. And I got to living my life. And you know what? 2 years later after he got saved, I got saved. And you don't know the first thing I did? I went to the Christian bookstore and bought a sticker that says Real Men Love Jesus. And I put it right back over the sticker that I tore off. I just had to tell that story. It was right there. But listen, money matters. We have to manage money right. And listen, sometimes we learn the hard way, but that's an education, you know what I'm saying, that you get and that you learn. But he says, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That word pierced means penetrate entirely. Sorrows means grief. And so we have a picture here of this extreme love for money. Now, back over in Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Then he says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to learn how to live content, don't we? Talk to the young people this morning, the middle schoolers, and we talked about contentment a little bit. And we brought up that verse in Psalm 37. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He will give you desires of your heart. Man, listen, I've never mentioned it like this before. The Lord just, he took that verse, Brother Celon, this morning and used it. And I said, that word delight, you know, it means pliable. It means be limber and loose and spend time with Jesus. Find contentment in him. Get excited about Jesus. And, you know, I said, what happens when you're around somebody for an extended period of time? You may start talking like them and acting like them, and then you may start wanting what they want. Whether it's somebody that's good with being a good impact on you or somebody that's being bad with a bad impact on you, I said, what happens when you hang out with Jesus? You'll start wanting what he wants. You'll start acting like he acts. And I began teaching on hanging out with Jesus this morning to the middle schoolers. It was amazing. I love that. I've never said that before. The Holy Ghost just amazes me sometimes. But truly, truly, if we hang out with Jesus, put him first, we will like the things that he likes. We will get the things that he wants us to get. But we do have this struggle at times with putting him first, don't we? We're all human here. We struggle. But there's the word priorities. Priorities. Effort equals blessings when our priorities are correct. God will bless our efforts if we prioritize our life heavenly over earthly. All right? God will bless our seeking. But seek, look, explore, dig, hunt, find, go after, full attention. And if we do that, he says he'll make sure he'll have it for you, whatever you need. All right? Effort equals blessings. So there's priorities, but then the second word that pertains to this subject is persistence. 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. I love 1 Corinthians 15. It's the resurrection chapter. We're right here at Easter, so why not? Why not mention it? Again, we know that this is the resurrection chapter, and the chapter concludes with a therefore. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse number 58, it concludes with a therefore. Because Jesus got up out of that grave, because there is a life after death eternal in the heavens with Jesus, because of these things, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The second word is persistence. Persistence. Effort equals blessings when we're persistent. This verse gives us four things about being persistent. The first word he uses is steadfast. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That word steadfast means continue. It means not changing. It means constant. I looked up one time that word steadfast, and I tried to find where I found that definition at. I couldn't find it, but it's still in my brain, so I want to use it. Steadfast, continue, always moving, like the earth on its axis. You know we're spinning in circles right now. Y'all don't feel that spinning? Thank God we don't feel that spinning. I'll tell you right now, I'd fall straight back on these stairs, on these steps. The earth, okay, little question for you tonight. This isn't a deep question, all right? How long does it take? This is a silly question. How long does it take for the earth to turn one time? We're learning. 24 hours, the earth turns one time. And it's turning and it's moving even now, and we can't feel it. What about this? What happens when you say, and I say, God's not doing anything in my life? What do you think? Is he or is he not? Could it be it's a call to be persistent while God is doing something? As we're going to look in a moment, our labor is not in vain. The world's still spinning. And because the world's still spinning and moving, we need to keep moving. We need to be steadfast. Doesn't mean that God's not doing anything. It just means he's doing it in his own time. Our job is to be steadfast, is to not change, be constant. And so he says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, as the world turns on its axis. Then he says, unmovable, unmovable. So there's the word stay. Another word for steadfast is continue. Another word for unmovable is stay. It can also mean unmovable to barriers or obstacles. We need to be unmovable from our beliefs. There's all kinds of beliefs going on right now. I can't even begin to tell you a couple things I heard this week. Now, there are some who are predicting that this week Jesus is coming back. I don't know if you've heard that or not. I mean, with everything going on over there, the red heifer, the temple being built, the only thing some sources haven't done is put a date on it, and they should never put a date on it. That's foolishness, and God is certainly not going to come back on that date just because they put a date on it. All right? But listen, there's all kinds of beliefs out there. Some feel like that this week Jesus is going to come back for the church sometime this week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. All right? All kinds of beliefs. There's a church. All right, look. There's a church up in Canton. I get close to the edge. I'm not going to totally go over, so don't worry. I'll say some things. I ain't going to say everything I feel. But there's a church in Canton right now that's getting blasted because the pastor put online. He had Snoop Dogg's music bumping and going, just playing, bumping, playing. That's what we used to say going on the road with our speakers on, bumping. It was playing. And then he pulled up in the church parking lot, and he got out of the car, and it was a cloud of smoke, and he was coughing. It was plain to see what he was doing. He said, hey, everybody, did you know that Easter Sunday is 420? He said, we'd like to invite you. We'd love it if you came. I mean, how far are you going to go to draw a crowd? What if there's somebody in the crowd struggling with weed? What if there's somebody addicted to drugs and they come to church for help and the pastor is up here making fun of them? Shame on that man. Shame on him. But I said that to say this, that let us be unmovable in our beliefs. People are, and listen, I want this church to fill up, and I want there to be more people, and I love marketing and advertising. I know Dakota does that a lot, and maybe he'll do some of that for us in the future. But it stops with Snoop Dogg, all right? It stops before Snoop Dogg or before any rock and roller or anybody or anything like that. The links, listen, the only thing that will attract a person to the cross is knowing that they're going to hell when they die. Then the cross seems beautiful, and it is beautiful. You try to reel them in with trying to mimic somebody on drugs, that's not good. That's not, how are you going to stand up and preach against that and preach recovery when you made a video about it? Anyway, unmovable. Unmovable to barriers and obstacles. We need to be unmovable in our beliefs, but then unmovable in our purposes. Man, I feel like I've been preaching on Paul a lot lately. But what greater other than Jesus person to preach on than Paul? He was imprisoned for doing right. He was drugged outside of the gates of Lystra, and he was stoned, and he got back up, and he walked back in the city. You know, this man, he was unmovable in his purpose. What does it take to move us away from serving God, loving God? What does it take to move us from our purpose? Is it the first time that we get aggravated with somebody in church and I'm quitting my position? Well, you better develop a tough hide, okay? And God will develop you a tough hide over time. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I understand that. But what does it take? What does it take to move us? God says, I will bless your effort if you're unmovable. Unmovable from your beliefs. Unmovable from your purposes. There's been some things that we've had to climb over since we've been in ministry. Not necessarily here, but the first two places, Zion View and Pleasant Hill, there was obstacles that came up and we had to deal with. Some of the things are so minor and minute and just crazy, but had to be dealt with. And some of those things almost moved me out of the ministry. And so let us be unmovable. God will bless our persistence. But then there's a word here, abounding. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. That word abounding means to advance. It means to surpass the usual. Y'all have heard of the verse of the second mile, right? The Bible talks about going the second mile. Everybody can go the first mile, but it takes that second mile to get the attention from God, I believe. Now, I can remember last year when I was walking around my neighborhood and I was dieting, and y'all know, y'all probably tired of hearing about it. But I would wait. I mean, I lost 100 pounds, and my neighborhood's 1 mile, so I would start with 1 mile. And by the time I saw my house, I was like, whew, thank God that mile's done. But I got to a place where I felt like I could do 2 miles. But in order for me to do that, I had to commit in my mind and heart as I was looking at my house approaching that I was going to go the second mile. It's hard to talk yourself into doing something, going beyond yourself. You know what I'm saying? At the last minute when you're just being double-minded. But it was going that second mile. And I even broke up my walks. I started going 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, at night. I would like trick myself. I said, okay, Justin, you're going to walk 1 mile a day. But I knew in the back of my mind, on this side of my brain, I was saying, no, I want to go walk. I'm going to walk twice, one later. And then I was tricking this side of the brain. I said, no, I'm going to go a third time later on. And so you see how that happens? But it was the 3 times, it was the dieting, it was all that. Thank God I'm back on track now, and I'm down 25 pounds. I mean, I'm up and down, but I ain't going to stay the same for long on either end of the spectrum. But I'm always going to be trying to be healthy, but I've learned that it's going the distance, going that second mile, that third mile, surpassing the usual. I'm back in the gym now. Lily got me there, or I wouldn't be there. I used to enjoy it in my 20s and 30s. I know 40's not old, but 40's been different for me. But I got in there, and last week I was, man, I don't know who I thought I was, but I had my earbuds in, and I was down there on that bench, and I was bench pressing. And that was last week. I went back this week. And I got on that same weight, and I started to bench press. It was a little bit easier. I grew from last week to this week, not in fat, but in muscle. I know you can't see it, but it's there, I promise you. Listen, if I were to quit, I wouldn't have reaped no benefits of that. I know that's a silly little illustration, but truly, I mean, Monday we went, worked out from can to can't, feel like I was going to get sick, fall out in the parking lot, walk into the truck, went back Tuesday, did the same thing. Feel like I'm going to fall out sick, pass out, but I did it. But you know what? I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling lighter. I'm feeling better. I feel like I can grab it. It's right there. I'm going for it again. Paul uses this word. He's talking about going beyond yourself. He says, Jesus is alive. He says, because he's alive, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So not only just come to church, but do something when you're there. You know, not just come on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night, but do something while you're there and go out in the community. This year, go beyond yourself in the local church and see what happens. You're doing that. But sometimes I have to remind myself to go beyond myself, not just, you know, make sure I'm ready for Wednesday and Sunday morning, Sunday night, and make sure my call list is up to date and people are visiting the hospital. But go beyond that and go hand out some cards to invite people to church just randomly during the day and maybe go over here and do some marketing and make some banners or something for some upcoming events. And, you know, it's the effort that God sees. He sees that. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're not laboring in vain tonight, church. You got up and you came here tonight. God saw the effort. All right? You came for our prayer time. You came to hear from the Word of God and all of that. But you came. You could have stayed home, but you came. And God sees that. And He knows that you want a word from Him. And He knows that you want more in your spiritual life and all of those things. Well, this is the way to do it, is by abounding, is by surpassing the usual, going the second mile. He says, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's the word steadfast, the word unmovable, the word abounding. And then there's that phrase, as we just mentioned, he says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain in the Lord. When it comes to the law of sowing and reaping, we will always reap what we sow. We will always reap later than we sow, and we'll always reap more than we sow. And listen, it's in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Same concept is that we have right here. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We plant, it has to be watered, and then over time it'll come up. Just because something you did for God, you don't see no evidence yet, that doesn't mean there's nothing taking place underneath the surface. It has to germinate. It has to take root. And then you'll see the fruit. And so let us still have this attitude of persistence. Even though we have planted and someone else has watered, and you know, we see a little increase, a little fruit here and there, but I mean, man, we're wanting to see a pasture filled with a harvest. We got to keep going. We got to keep laboring. We got to keep surpassing the usual, because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I want to say this, I want to move on, but Some people get confused, the work of the Lord versus the Lord of the work. And this is something that I had to learn and that I'm still learning. That He's the Lord of this work here at Calvary. He happened to put me here in the work of the Lord. But He's the Lord of the work. You know, sometimes in the past, and not just me, but other pastors too, they struggle with, well, you know, are we really making a difference? And again, I'm not asking for somebody to pat me on the back. I'm just trying to make a point. Are we making a difference? If we were, why are there so many pews empty? Well, to the pastor tonight that may be down and discouraged, it's not just empty pews in your church, mister. It's empty pews in our church as well. It's not just empty pews in our church. It's empty pews around the world. I told somebody that one day. I said, you know, they asked me about the church here. I told them, I said, well, you know, hey, we're living in, you know, the new age, and people are falling away from the Lord. Oh, don't give me that excuse. I said, excuse me? Oh, then that's just an excuse. I said, no, my friend, that's reality and that's Bible. I didn't say I'm giving up. I said what I said was the church is up against all of H-E double hockey stick. That's what we're up against. And that's the truth tonight. And so it's, but you know what? There's such a peace that comes over you when you reach the place of realizing that it really ain't my church. This is God's church. That don't mean that I lay on the couch and watch Discovery Channel until Wednesday rolls around or Sunday morning. That don't mean that at all. I stay busy for God during the week, and I plan to do all I can, but I stop right before I got to go check myself into the mental ward. And I'm being dead serious. There are so many discouraged pastors tonight who are not just pastors, but teachers and church workers and Christians. They're exhausted and they feel like that they're not making a difference, and they just condemn themselves and all of that. Listen, this is God's thing. This is His church. We're just laborers in His vineyard tonight. And I'm glad that through the years I've been able to realize that as His church, it's my job to spread the gospel, to sow the seeds, and you know, and all of that. Somebody else comes along and then there is watered. But it's God that gives the increase. You remember? In the church of Corinth, they were arguing over, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. Paul said, I'm glad I didn't baptize none of you. Y'all gonna fight like that? He said, you know, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? One gave the word, one watered, but it's God that gave the increase. And so if we move our focus tonight off of, as odd as it sounds, because this is a people thing, off of people and on the Lord, and we just keep going and going and going, God will bless those efforts. I'm telling you. But we got to get right. Work of the Lord versus the Lord of the work. Let me mention one more thing. We'll be through. Priorities, Matthew 6:33. Persistence, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And then perception, Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews 6:10. Listen to this. I love this verse. This has to do with perception. We got to have our perception right. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So this verse deals with two things. It deals with our perception, but underneath that, it deals with God not forgetting that reality, and it deals with our labor. Okay, God, he, he, He will do no wrong. He will not. God is righteous. He would be unrighteous if he forgot the work you do for him. But it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget. You know, there's some things that God cannot do. He cannot forget what you do for him. Oh, listen, you work, you labor for the Lord, you work, you provide, try to provide for your family and be a spouse, a grandparent, whatever. You feel like nobody notices. Oh yeah, somebody notices. And he's closer than you think. He notices so much. He has made a pact with his own holiness that I will not be unrighteous to forget what they're doing for me. For God is not unrighteous to forget. He can't forget your work and labor of love. That word labor means to toil or cut. Sometimes when we're working and we're laboring, it's painful. Many times nobody sees the hidden tears in your wet pillow at night. All you do is you labor and you go and you keep going because you know that God hasn't forgot about you. Your work, your labor of love, he says, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So it's talking about God not forgetting, and then it's talking about our laboring. God remembers what you have done for him, but he also knows what you're doing now. So this verse has a lot to do with memory. For God is not unrighteous to forget, in that ye have ministered the past and do minister, that's currently. God is not a forgetter. All these years you've been serving the Lord, God hasn't forgot about that. You thought all that work was, it was just a loss, something happened to the church or what have you. No. It's not a loss. God hadn't forgot about that. It will come up at the right time. It'll come up at the right time. God has not forgot about that. And Brother Ceylon, I feel like that I'm reaping some of the benefits for some things that's been sown in this church down through the years. I am. We have a strong church body here that loves the Lord and loves people. One of the things that people, visitors say the most when they come through here is it's so loving there. It's so loving there. I mean, we're not a large church busting loose at the seams. Understand, when more people come, that's more problems. So we want to take it as God gives it, okay? We want who God wants us to have. So don't get me wrong there, but with more people, there's more issues. But we do want more people. And the thing about it is people say, oh, they're so loving and caring. Well, that's something that's been here at this church. And I feel like since the going on 7 years as pastor this July, I mean, I've just walked into it and continued that. And so I thank God for Brother Snyder and Brother Ben and Brother Ceylon, Brother Harold, Brother Jeff, and all you men and women of God down through the years. And y'all built this sanctuary, didn't you? Yeah. Take a look at this beautiful sanctuary. I mean, that's real wood right there. Place. That's hardwood. That's hardwood. I mean, yeah, we've made a couple of adjustments lately. That's just because we want to enhance the worship experience. But this is handcrafted, blood, sweat, and tears. The pews, everything. It's a labor of love. And tonight, we're reaping the benefits. We have a nice church building to come into and worship God freely. The bills are paid. Now, that don't mean stop giving, because the bills got to continue to be paid, okay? All right? The God's making sure that the bills are paid. We don't owe no money on the property. I mean, we're set to grow. We really are. And I just thank God for the foundation that's here at this church, that Justin Hales, that nobody's ever heard of, steps in off the scene and picks up the mantle, so to speak. All right? And I thank you. And while I'm here, let me say this and I'll move on. Was not planning on saying any of this. But I thank you for welcoming me here and my family. I mean, it's been a total of 8 years since the first time we got here. And honestly, looking back then, I can't honestly say that I could have seen. I didn't know how all this was going to happen. I didn't know I was going to be pastor. I didn't. I was the associate. I was helping Brother Snyder. And then first thing led to another and all this. And so now I'm here almost 7 years later. And I feel like we've grown together. I love you. I know you love me and my family. We feel it. And that just makes me want to dig in deeper. That doesn't make me want to close my Bible and go home. Listen, we've added. I like to think we've added to this beautiful foundation here that God has blessed through the years. I feel like we've added as a family and as a church, and it makes me want to dig in deeper. It makes me want to go harder. It makes me want to go that second mile, third mile, fourth mile, almost to the point of exhaustion like I left at the gym. That's how I want to be spiritually. I want to die on the battlefield. I was joking with Lily and Christy. They didn't think it was funny, but I said, I don't know when it was. Maybe it was a month or two ago, but I said, man, God got to moving. I thought I was going to die preaching. And then I said, man, what a way to go. I'd love to die preaching back behind that pulpit. And they're like, Lily's like, Dad. And Christy's like, Justin. I'm like, what? I'd rather die preaching behind the pulpit than die with a heart attack on the couch. I know that's morbid, but. Huh? Hey, get you a purpose and serve God and die doing so. Amen? That's what I want to do tonight. I know that's what you want to do. Let me hurry up and we'll be through. There's a perception here. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Where it says you do minister, that just means you have it quit. And I looked at this earlier, and God spoke to me, and it's almost like you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It's almost like the Lord saying, I'm not going to let you quit. I'm not going to let you quit. In conclusion, you know, I talk with people pretty often, and, you know, sometimes somebody likes to get a message across to you, something they want you to do. But they kind of say, like, and you know you haven't done it yet, but they're like, well, I'll just use Christy for example. Oh, yeah, Justin, thank you for bringing that trash to the curb, because they pick up trash on Thursday morning. Well, you know, I haven't done it yet, you know. And so she wouldn't have said that if she didn't believe that I did, or she wouldn't have said that if she didn't believe I could still do it. I know that might be out there for some, but what I'm saying is we have ministered and we do minister. Could God be placing some confidence that we're not going to quit? Just one way to look at it. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In conclusion tonight, effort equals blessings when it comes to perception. When it comes to priorities and persistence, God will certainly bless. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. I pray, Lord, that you would just take your word and apply it to all of our hearts. I hope that we were encouraged tonight. That was the goal. That was the plan. That's what I felt in my heart, is to encourage. Help us, Lord, to just take our hand to the plow and not look back, knowing that our work is not in vain in you. Keep us safe tonight as we go our separate ways. And Lord, let us have our hearts prepared for Easter Sunday when we come back to worship you. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, well, thank you for coming tonight, and that's the message. And